Hey, everybody. Jeff Prather here on the Prather Point. If you're tired of fake news and you're over the propaganda press and it's time to get outside the box, tune in and call up to the Prather Point, 520-790-2040. With me, your intelligence officer. I'm an ex-government insider. I served in the Defense Intelligence Agency, the military, the Army, Special Operations Command for the most part, with 7th Special Forces Group, in federal law enforcement, Department of Justice, the Drug Enforcement Administration. I was a special agent, special operator, and primary firearms instructor. And this is the Prather Point, Transform and Talk Radio, telling you the truth that you are not hearing anywhere else. And thanks to Maurice for that great introduction, and to Charles and Sean for promoting the show. I think they were doing that. Got a big show for you today. Big shoe, if you remember back that far back to Ed Sullivan. Real important stuff. But this is the Perfection Auto Works Studios with caring patriot Mike Emery, who's at 1046 North Beverly Avenue, 323-8650. Perfection Auto Works. Get your car ready for the summer with Mike, and you can always ask him about the show and talk over things. It's a great shop of patriots. They've been there for 20 years. Same folks, a top-rated studio, car garage in town, home of the free 26-point inspection. So a lot happening. I hope you had a solemn but happy Memorial Day. I did. I remember friends of mine who are fallen. I have friends both at Arlington and at the Federal Law Enforcement Memorial. There's also, so you got to go to Arlington. John, did you get a chance to look at the video of the Tomb of the Unknown? It's pretty amazing, right? Everybody should go there. But there's also the Federal Law Enforcement Memorial with lions on there. And I've got several friends that I've lost there as well. Because wherever you are, there was a warrior protector that came first and made that ground safe for everyone else. And I did the sermon today for our chaplaincy. I'm a chaplain, wearing my chaplain shirt, and Pentecost is coming up. That is the 50th day from the Hebrew Shavuot, the festival of the first harvest and fruits, and that's when the apostles in the upper room, in the niche room of David's tomb, perhaps on Mount Sinai in Jerusalem, because there was a pilgrimage required, received the Holy Spirit. And that's really the beginning of the church and the Christian church there. And we're an experiential chaplaincy to experience the Christ connection and the Holy Spirit. So if you're interested in that, you can go to christchaplaincy.com and call in. We have a teleconference every Sunday that goes out worldwide. And you can participate in that. Goes out as far as Africa, Iraq, Europe, Afghanistan, spiritual warfare chaplaincy using Aramaic text. Real interesting stuff. And then later on this week, it's a big week, is June 6th, D-Day, the 75th anniversary. I thought it was 76, but I guess it's 75th, where we go back and free Europe and change history, very much like the Alamo and the Thermopylae. For you youngsters, if there's any youngsters listening, that's a 300 to you. But amazing. And the movie to watch for that is not Saving Private Ryan. Saving Private Ryan is a great movie, not a true story, but it's The Longest Day. And if you haven't seen that one, you've seen that one, John? You got to see The Longest Day. And as an old paratrooper, you got to look at the paratroops coming down into St. Mary Glise, dropping right down into the Germans in the town and getting killed before they even hit the ground. And also the aircrafts were on fire. And I've, as an old paratrooper, I was listening to old paratroopers talk about that. And they're saying, yeah, we jumped out and all our gear got torn off. We lost our weapons. I'm like, well, that's weird, because I've jumped out lots of times with weapons and weapons bags and exposed weapons. But those, they were under so much flak, they didn't slow down. So everything got torn off. I'm like, oh, okay. Well, that makes sense. Things went as bad as possible. So they hit the ground with no weapons, no supplies, far from their drop zones, which saved some of them, but doomed some other ones. But anyway, that's part of our American heritage that we should really be aware of. And the true story of that is really important to take a moment and realize that. And even more amazing than the landings at Utah Beach that is shown in Saving Private Ryan is Pointe du Hoc. And I'm not a ranger, but I have been to ranger school for other courses. That's where I went through the DEA's snowcap course. I've known lots of rangers. Mike Case, if you're listening, there's a fabulous ranger. Raul Romero, lots of other rangers I've known. But those, when they went up straight up Pointe du Hoc, up the cliffs, they climbed cliffs under German fire. They did the impossible, really amazing. They go back there every year. There's only a few of them left now going straight up the cliffs. Those are the two greatest sacrifices and amazing things that happened this week on D-Day. Pointe du Hoc and St. Mary Glace, the Airborne and the Rangers, those units suffered over 100% casualties. So those things are worth remembering and knowing about your American heritage. Really important to do so. So have a solemn June 6th as well. That's very significant. Don't just blow that off. And if you're interested in pursuing your warrior heritage, even if you've never served, I've trained tens of thousands of military at Warrior School, warriorschool.com. Don't train many more anymore. But I've never met a vet that regretted serving. I've met lots of civilians, dentists, doctors that now have firearms go through my courses, and they've regretted never serving. I've heard that a lot. So if you're interested in still serving as a citizen warrior, my handgun martial arts class every Wednesday night, 6 to 7:30 p.m. at 4518 East Broadway is the handgun as the American martial arts. Been going on for 10 years as well. It's a recognized martial art. You go to warriorschool.com to look at that, and I have a self-defense combatives class after that. Interested in traditional martial arts, I've got Kids Ninja Camp coming up. Kids from 5 to 12, horseback riding, swimming. That's bujinkanusa.com, B-U-J-I-N-K-A-N-U-S-A.com. I taught a kid to swim last year that couldn't swim. You don't have to be in the dojo, although the dojo classes are real big. And you can look at all this stuff on Facebook. You can find me on Facebook as well. Got probably 10 different Facebook pages and Instagram as well. But a lot of stuff to really important to cover today, besides what I just have been talking about. And the first one is kind of funny because you just can't make this stuff up. But guess who is the guest speaker at a cybersecurity conference in Washington, D.C. in the fall? Do you know, John? I'm going to eventually get John on the air. He's really shy, but do you know who it is, John? The guest speaker at a November cybersecurity conference in Washington, D.C. is, wait for it, Hillary Clinton. That's how, hey, Charles, and Charles is here. That's how ridiculous D.C. is and the Beltway bubble. And I, at the end there, I was a boss at the Defense Intelligence Agency, so I know what the Beltway bubble is like. But you just can't make this stuff up. It is so ridiculous, so insane. And you are not being told the truth at all. And that is very clear. And I'm going to talk more about that. Hopefully, I'm going to get a call in from a friend of mine who I was commissioned with 35 years ago today. And if not, I'll talk about it anyway. But we got to go to a break. This is Jeff Prather in the Perfection Auto Works Studios on the Prather Point. Right back with you after this. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point. The Perfection Auto Works Studios, right back with you. Besides stopping in to see Mike Emery, you should stop in and see Doug at Diamondback and tell him how you're liking the show as well. So a lot of stuff we got to deep dive into here, but hopefully I just got a call from an old friend of mine. Yeah, is that Kirk on the line? So I get sources. You know, people ask me, how do you know all this stuff? So this is not one of my secret sources because he's retired. He jumped out of airplanes. He saw friends of his on training jumps get torn up and electrocuted and everything. He's been shot point blank and survived. Real good, tough guy, old friend of mine, great guy. And he's going to tell us about the Virginia shooting. You just heard the Bloomberg blurb about that and how the propaganda press is not telling you the truth about all that. But Kirk is going to fill us in on that. Hey, Kirk, welcome to the show. Good to talk to you, brother.
Hey, Jeff. How are you doing, brother?
I'm doing great. So you had some info on the Virginia shooter.
Oh, yes. It's definitely not making the press. He was a very liberal Democrat, African-American activist, and Muslim. And that does not fit the narrative of the crazy white Christian male shooter. So that story got buried awfully quick.
You know, I should have known that when I was doing my show prep and I was looking around, and I want to give total credit to you because I was looking for the background of that, because almost never are they veterans. They always want to make them veterans. 7 days in May, you know, Burt Lancaster, you know, big thing with MacArthur, American Caesar. They always want to take us vets and say, first of all, we're crazy. You know, Vietnam vets are all crazy. They're not. There's 22 of us killing ourselves every day. That's not true either. And then we're always going to overthrow the government. And that's not the case at all. It's almost always. Now, was this guy a National Guard guy too? Did I get that right?
I do not know. But the news had reported that he was resigning, and I think he, like many cowards, wanted to go out in a blaze of what they think is glory. And I'd like to mention that, of course, it happened in a gun-free zone. It was next to the county or city courthouse and city headquarters, so it was a gun-free zone, which I like to call victim disarmament zones.
Yeah, that just tells the shooter that, you know, I do a lot of stop active shooter courses. In fact, kind of that's how one of the first shows I did on Dave Sitton on another channel a long time ago. The late Dave Sitton had me on and was promoting my stop active shooter courses to schools. And yeah, you're right. So it doesn't fit the narrative. Government worker, black, Muslim. That certainly doesn't fit the narrative, although it certainly does fit the profile, another word you're not supposed to say, profile of active shooters. And you're seeing that from Antifa to that guy who shot up the congressman, the Republican congressional baseball game a while back. So appreciate that. Really, really good info on there. And yeah, you know, it's been 35 years since we were commissioned together.
8 June of 1984. Yes, sir.
8 June. I didn't even remember the date. Oh, my gosh. So it's this week, huh?
It is.
Holy smoke. Wow.
And not long after D-Day, which I had the privilege of walking Pointe du Hoc and St. Mary Glise with my father in 2004 at the 65th anniversary of D-Day. And it brings you to tears, literally.
Wow.
The sacrifice and the bravery of those men, it's unbelievable. And then we walked the cemetery at Colville-sur-Mer, and tens of thousands of white crosses. I'm getting emotional. I appreciate you putting up with me. But
no, I cry on the air, too.
We paid our respects to a young man from my dad's hometown that was about 10 years older than him, who died in Normandy. He was a great young man. And then members of several regiments that I served with, several infantry regiments, were buried there, and we paid our respects. If one ever gets a chance to go, don't pass it up. It is beyond words and humbling, the sacrifice of those men.
It is, and that's our heritage as soldiers. And I always like to say there was an army before there was a country. There were soldiers fighting for a country that did not yet exist.
So true. So true, my friend.
And you were infantry. You were the real deal. Not like me. I was intelligence.
Well, you worked with the warriors and did a lot of warriorship yourself. So I hold you in the highest of esteem.
Right back at you, brother. Right back at you. We both got to serve in Special Forces. That was a lot of fun and very honorable. an amazing time as well. You were at the National Guard. What, you were 19th group, 20th group?
11th group. It was the Army Reserve in Youngstown, Ohio.
And just on a training jump, there was a guy who got electrocuted and burned, and you cut him down. You're the guy who, I'm going to brag about you, you're the guy who tied your folding knife to a stick and cut him down. Isn't that right?
That's true, and that's because my friend Jeff chided me for not always having a knife on my person. So I remedied that, and it ended up paying off, literally saving someone's life. If I can brag on him, Staff Sergeant Chuck Yeaton was medically retired. He lost his arm because of the fire. He went through a power line, and he crossed two wires, and the electricity blew out his elbow. So he lost his arm, but later he would not, as Green Berets, you know, wouldn't take life lying down, and he became a scoutmaster when his son was old enough, and they did not have, at the summer Boy Scout summer camp he was going to, they didn't have a lifeguard, so he said, oh, I'm going to step up into the breach. So a one-armed man learned and got certified as a lifeguard, and he also went out with his scouts leading from the front, as Green Berets do, and completed the 1 mile swim and beat most of the boys with one arm.
Wow.
So in Chuck Yeaton's memory, Staff Sergeant Chuck Yeaton, we salute you, sir.
Wow. That's awesome. Wow.
Yeah.
Well, I'm so glad you called in. It's great to talk to you, and we still get to see each other every once in a while. And I knew a customs agent down the border with one arm. Just amazing folks. But you stay safe. God bless. Thank you for the call. And next time, maybe I won't have to chide you so much to call in. You're being so so humble. But we've had a lot of good times together, from Japan to Korea to ROTC to all kinds of stuff.
Fort Bragg, even.
Fort Bragg. That's right. Yeah.
Yeah.
Really nice.
Well, you say such great things, I don't want to take any time from your
program. Well, thanks. Thanks, Kirk. Take care.
God bless.
God bless. Okay, so wanted you to hear that. And so there's one of my sources, but that's one of my open sources. Because he's retired. He doesn't care. But now I'm going to get into some really deep stuff, and it ties into Arizona. And it always comes back to Arizona, because Mike is always saying to me, Jeff, say something about Arizona. Make sure it's relevant to Arizona. Well, there's a coup taking over our country. It's the intelligence community and the Department of Justice. So I think that's relevant to everybody, including Arizonans. But this starts from a lawsuit. And the lawsuit was... And this is really big, and I haven't seen this anywhere else. On June 5th last year, a whistleblower who was a CIA NSA contractor named Dennis Montgomery filed a federal lawsuit against Comey and President Obama and CIA Director John Brennan and former FBI Director James Comey and National Intelligence Director James Clapper. And it claims that the defendants failed to investigate Montgomery's whistleblower reports of illegal surveillance on Donald Trump and millions of other Americans. So Charles was just in the office. He gave me, he goes, Jeff, I don't know if you know, but Vince got a book on it. Like, yeah, I know Vince. Vince, a whistleblower on ATF. I know all the, because I was, that's where I got my whistleblowing start, on the DEA end. And Vince got fired like five times or something. And he's a great guy. And I heard him on the radio, I think might have been another channel the other day, but yeah, great guy, former Marine as well. But this guy's a whistleblower too, and this is big stuff, and we're going to do a deep dive, so stay with me. So although the suit does not identify the surveillance system by name, audio recordings released in 2015 by the United States District Court Judge G. Murray Snow in Maricopa County, Arizona, and that's here in Arizona, again, we are at the center of the fight for freedom, because as I said before, Fast and Furious begins at DEA with ATF in Arizona because personal weaponry ensures personal freedom. And this begins under Barack Obama, and this begins to curtail personal freedom by curtailing personal weaponry. And the script was that Mexican gun violence is due to Mexican gun dealers, which is not true at all. That was their first covert international operation. And now we're finding about another one of their covert international operations. And this is the coup to take over the presidency and spy on Citizen Trump and all other American citizens. And it too begins in Arizona with Judge Murray Snow in Maricopa County. He identified in the release of these audio recordings a surveillance system called the Hammer, alleged to be used to spy on Trump, 159 judges, including Supreme Court Justice John Roberts, and millions of other Americans. There's nothing more important and more significant, folks, than this. So you remember how John Roberts changed his mind on Obamacare, and also how Obama fumbled the oath of office? He did not say it. John's nodding. And then they said, well, he retook it later on in the basement. We didn't see that part. Well, we're supposed to see it. And I'm not sure he ever did, because we are seeing more and more illegal activities. And I've always said that the communists, the dictators, the collectivists, whatever you want to call them, the socialists, they always have to have a script, because life does not fit their script, because the Marx-Lenin, that stuff fell apart a long time ago. It's never worked out. They're still looking for the proletariat. And so the initial script with the Obama administration was Fast and Furious. And now this is another script that has emerged. And Montgomery alleges that the U.S. government wiretapped 17 Trump businesses, including Trump Tower. The proof of Donald Trump being wiretapped is in the documents that were handed over to the FBI. Montgomery's attorney, Larry Klayman, told reporters just this past week. And although the suit does not identify the surveillance system by name, these audio recordings released in 2017, by U.S. District Court Judge G. Murray Snow in Maricopa County, right here in Arizona, identify this secret government surveillance system. So this is all starting to come to light. And this is something I talked about a long time ago on a different show, is I was hearing rumors. You're wondering why everybody was falling over for the Obama administration just going along. And what I was hearing in the intelligence community, because remember, I was all in the intelligence community. I had TSDOJ, I had TSIC, and I was dual credentialed and did a lot of stuff under different hats, is that people were activating people's computers and phones and surveilling them through specific systems and then blackmailing them. And this, I think, is that I talked about years ago for some of you who have been listening for a long time. But this is hugely significant. And actually, this is good news. You don't have to have a drink, as another host that is now on another station that used to have me on goes, oh God, after I have you on, I got to have another drink. No, because it's all coming out. This is good news. They are not able to keep it secret anymore. But I'm running over, so we'll take a quick break. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios, 527-90-2040. Right back with you. Jeff Prather, the Prather Point. AM 1030 KVOI, The Voice, in the Perfection Auto Works Studios, right back with you, doing a deep dive on the latest breaking. And Charles just stuck his head in here and said, no one is covering this. But I should explain, TS is top secret. SCI is secret compartmented information. So that's what I had. I had top secret through the DOD, and I had a top secret through the DOJ. I guess I'd say that, Department of Defense and Department of Justice, which are the two main areas of the executive branch. I worked them both extensively and simultaneously, because I was still a reserve officer chopped to the DIA. So I was a military officer, major, chopped to the DIA, with my active duty job being the DEA. I'm using abbreviations again. Drug Enforcement Administration, Defense Intelligence Agency. Okay, Roger. So we love abbreviations. Sorry about that. But anyway, getting back into this. So in real intelligence, as my compatriot Tony Schaefer, you see him, big name out there, and Dan Bongino, former 1811 Secret Service as well, doing great work. We actually confirm our intelligence through multiple sources, unlike what Comey and Stroke and Mueller did, where they just make this stuff up and then say, yeah, yeah, because we're bosses, it's great stuff. So I should be able to confirm what I'm saying to you if it's for real. Well, here is confirmation. A leaked CIA Information Operations Center, which I ran the DIA's Operations Center, so I've been in the CIA's Operations Center as well as the White House's, document published in March 2017 in the WikiLeaks Vault 7 dump. That's why they're after Julian Assange right now, because they're desperate, they're scared, identifies a CIA hacking tool called HAMR. Hammer. Computer expert who worked for the military and major government agency involved in defense who reviewed the leaked AI document believes that the hammer referred to the hammer, the same system. And under grants of immunity obtained with the help of U.S. District Court Judge Royce Lambert, the former head of the FISA court, Clayman brought Montgomery to FBI Director James Comey. We brought Montgomery forward to FBI Director James Comey through his general counsel, James Baker. Remember James Baker. We're going to get back to him, Clayman said. So on August 19, 2015, this is way before the beginning of the Mueller investigation that everybody has testified. And if it is not true, they have suborned perjury repeatedly for years. And they have. Montgomery produced 46 hard drives and 600 million pages of evidence documenting illegal surveillance to the FBI. The law enforcement agency took possession of Montgomery's evidence. Montgomery named names, specifically John Brennan and James Clapper. He laid out how persons like then businessman Donald Trump were illegally spied upon by Clapper, Brennan, and the spy agencies of the Obama administration. He even claimed that these spy agencies had manipulated voting in Florida during the 2008 presidential election, illegal tampering that helped Obama win the White House. Now, sorry, my cough button didn't work. You got to go way back and remember the elections and how all of a sudden there at the end, all the results changed. You may not remember that far back, but all of a sudden, the results started changing. And Obama won. And Obama is a manufactured candidate anyway. He'd never done anything. I remember I was working in the DEA had moved me within 2 weeks to New York away from my family to put more pressure on me to try and make me crazy like they were trying to say I was crazy, which I wasn't. But I remember seeing pictures of the seal around Obama's head like a halo. I'm like, oh, this is like propaganda photo in a communist country. This is really scary. And Montgomery is saying that his own family was at risk. Montgomery says that they were looking for Article 3 information on 159 judges to use as leverage against those judges. The CIA breached the FBI servers 7 times over a 6-year period to find out what information the FBI had in their possession and to learn if there was an ongoing FBI investigation into the CIA's activities. This is scary stuff, and you should be outraged, as I am. And I know everybody's going to say, well, we know politicians lie. We know Washington screwed up. Yeah, it is. But what we have become is a third world banana republic dictatorship where the White House was using the DOJ and the IC as their own political hammers. Now, this isn't new. All you got to do is talk to Black Americans who have been denied rights. All you got to do is talk to Native Americans who were almost exterminated and lied about. I'm more familiar with the Native aspect of that, where Andrew Jackson, the Supreme Court rules against him removing the Cherokees, and he goes, okay, Supreme Court, enforce your stuff. So there have been terrible sins committed by us. But I speak about those. Unlike some conservative commentators, I bring them up all the time. And that's important. But this is one of those terrible sins that our country is committing. But the good news, again, is that it is coming out. So Montgomery is saying, so he's kind of some kind of cyber savant, that the hammer can throw browser exploits at iOS, Android, OSS, OSX, and Linux hacking targets and send specific plugins from the collection of iOS plugins to target devices. What's really interesting about this, folks, is this is exactly what I was hearing. It's I'm not a cyber guy. I do lots of cyber security. I do competitive intelligence and corporate security today. That's one of my main gigs, as well as physical security. Less than that, but I still do it. Do it for the Freedom Expo every year. But I heard about this back then. So what I heard about in layman's terms is what is coming out here. And the hammer appears to be a massive supercomputer system that was used to listen to phone calls, not by tapping telecommunication carrier switching stations and fiber optic cables, but instead by deploying or throwing malicious plugins that targeted computers. So in the old days, we had to go up because I worked wiretapped. I worked Title III investigations. You used to have to do a Title III to get your GS-13, your General Services 13 level. And you have to plug into the connection. In the old days, that's real old days. But Dennis Montgomery, according to several of the audio tapes, rented with $7,000 cash a supercomputer at Lockheed Martin in Los Angeles to process and collate all the collected data organized by phone numbers. Guess who else worked for Lockheed Martin back then? If you're one of my followers who listened closely to the stuff I've been putting out over years, James Comey worked for Lockheed Martin as their general counsel and senior vice president during the approximate time frame in which Montgomery claims to have used the Lockheed Martin supercomputer. And that's always, I've talked about that before, but I've never put together why he was there, because he's not a Lockheed Martin kind of guy. I've worked with SAIC, Raytheon quite a bit. Montgomery told Klayman that although he is under an immunity agreement, he feels compelled to speak and reveal that while he worked for Brennan Clapper, remember, this is the DNI, Director of National Intelligence, and the CIA director, Brennan, who was a communist, the two intelligence officials were running dome surveillance operations under the Obama administration that illegally collected massive amounts of information. So what do the experts say? So General Thomas McClerney, U.S. Air Force retired, called the situation revealed by Montgomery worse than Watergate. Lieutenant Colonel Anthony Schaefer, again, he and I were at DIA together, also described the surveillance against Trump as worse than Watergate. Now, I've been saying it's worse than Watergate for a long time because Watergate was just a break-in. And I have said on the air for a long time, I long for the noble, honest days of Richard Nixon, when Nixon gets caught and goes, "Yeah, you caught me. I'm going to resign." Because now, and this really, talk to your liberal friends about this, because they always love to pull up Watergate. Well, the first thing with Watergate is nobody got killed. Fast and Furious, my introduction to whistleblowing, Brian Terry, Jaime Zapata, and hundreds of Mexicans killed by Fast and Furious guns. Benghazi, I know the widow of some of the Benghazi guys that were killed. Syria, I know some of the people that were killed there. That's all of the Obama covert international gun running operations. Terrible, terrible stuff. Watergate, nobody got killed. It was a burglary and Nixon resigned. Obama still is coming out and saying, we had no scandals in our administration. And Hillary is still saying she was robbed and she's hosting she's the guest speaker at a cybersecurity conference in D.C. People should be laughing their butts off. But they're still doing this because they think we're that stupid. And we're not. And you're not. And I'm not. And we should not put up with it. We have to take our country back. And I'm always telling this to my young students in the dojo and everything is, Tag, you're it. It's your country now. I've done my service 25 years. Okay, tag. You get the government you tolerate and the country you deserve. Anyway, coming up on a break here, but I got even more stuff, even deeper dives. This is a really important show. Stay with me. It's really important. I know it's complicated and deep. This is Jeff Prather on the Prather Point. Right back with you. Jeff Prather on the Prather Point in the Perfection Auto Works Studios. Back with you, doing a deep dive into breaking corruption of how Citizen Trump and Citizen USA were wiretapped. And wiretapped, yeah, technically it's not wiretapping. You have to tap into a wire, but it's still illegal surveillance. It's illegal Title III surveillance. That's a huge felony. To do that, you have to swear, you have to affidavit before a federal judge. I've done it. Raise your hand, say, this is all my experience. This is why I think we got to do this. And it's supposed to be a last resort effort. It no longer really is. The DEA is now using that as how you get your GS-13, which is kind of silly because GS-12s are pretty young agents and they don't know how to do. They end up doing wiretaps of Title IIIs of unimportant people. I've seen that a lot, but that the agencies have degenerated down into these political machines and these self-licking ice cream cones. But Kirk just texted me saying that Cheryl Atkinson, the journalist who finally realized she was part of the propaganda press and turned that she was hacked and hacked very sophisticatedly. Remember, too, if somebody's out there saying, well, this is totally crazy, remember that Eric Holder, the attorney general under Obama, perjured himself and said, oh, yeah, I believe Rosen at Fox News is a criminal, and we have to surveil his emails. And then later on, I said, I didn't really believe that. Well, you know, in adult world, in federal court, we call that perjury because you're only allowed to do that kind of surveillance if you have really good probable cause. He goes, no, we just wanted to read his emails. And the emails for Fast and Furious go right to the White House. So all of this is fitting together. Carter Page is just coming out saying that he was an agent for FBI and CIA, both along with Ms. Foode. And so they were saying that Carter Page, they were trying to put out that Carter Page was working for the Russians. Well, does that mean then FBI and CIA that he was a double agent? Because then you're really bad. Of course, I've said that Stroke is terrible at counterintelligence. He's having an affair. Steele was working with a Russian. He's texting stuff. He has no idea what counterintelligence is. Tony Schaefer is now saying that the DOD intelligence is going to have to vet DOJ, FBI intelligence operations in the future because they have no clue what they're doing. Or it may not that they don't have any clue. It's that they're just so corrupt. But there should be, again, more corroborating sources, and there are. So, we're coming back now to former FBI General Counsel James Baker. Is the second current or former senior FBI official to have misled Congress. And this, I believe, proves that Obama's intelligence chiefs, Brennan and Clapper, illegally surveilled Donald Trump with the Hammer system. So remember that Baker was before Congress and for a long time. All these guys have been before Congress, and he's saying, oh, I don't know anything. And then between day one of Baker's interview 2 weeks earlier and day two, Baker suddenly remembered that the U.S. government contractor, Dennis Montgomery, had turned over to the FBI evidence in 2015 in the form of digital storage devices that Montgomery asserted proved that the U.S. government illegally surveilled American citizens, that's Trump at this time, and government officials. Remember, this is 2015. This is way before the story of the investigation starting. This is perjury, and this is spying, as Barr likes to say. But the key here is how they are worming their way out of this is that even though, according to Montgomery, the Obama administration turned that super surveillance system against the American people, including FISA court judges. And I've been wondering, how come the FISA court judges aren't speaking up? The FISA court judges were lied to and perjured to. They should be outraged at this time. You're not hearing a lot from them. And this would explain why. that they harvested this illegal data and blackmailed these guys. And William Binney, who served as an NSA techno director of the World Geopolitical and Military Analysis Reporting Group, is kind of like the op center that I commanded. The Hammer program, as far as I can see, was run by CIA. And the point was that the NSA already had their massive collection on everybody anyway. That was called Stellar Wind, and it had tapping points for the upstream collection of everything from fiber networks. But if CIA wanted to do it, but not let NSA or anybody else in the government know about it, they could have set up a separate secret program like Hammer and do a subset of tapping of critical points. So then this comes up. This comes up when Baker is being interviewed, and he says, no. But you got to listen to how he's asked. To your knowledge, did President Obama or anyone in the White House ever, quote, demand or request that the DOJ or FBI, quote, infiltrate or surveil the Trump campaign for, quote, political purposes? And that's when Baker says no. The word there he uses is political purposes, because they're trying to say, well, we thought that Trump was really involved as a Russian agent. Now, we know that's been proved to be a complete fallacy, complete phony hoax. But that word is why Baker is able to say no there. And effectively lie to Congress and perjure himself. That is crucial to understand this. So I hope this is all making sense. I know this is a deep dive, but no one else is going to tell you this. And really, I want you to tell your friends to listen to this podcast and call the station and say, get this podcast up, because you need to hear this stuff. This is really important. Anyway, Mark's on the phone. Welcome to the show, Mark. As always, glad to have you.
Yes, two things. But one is, let me first correct what I said last week. I had thought that John Brennan had stayed on during the Trump administration. I think he actually did. When I look at the dates of his resignation or his leaving, it was the day of the inauguration of Trump. So I don't believe there was an overlap between Brennan and Trump. But it seemed like it, however it worked out. And also, have you seen, or do you know of, or in your knowledge, do you think there was a more corrupt administration than the Barack Hussein Obamanista administration?
Well, probably not. And, you know, I was there in New York in DEA, and I was in the reserves at that time. And I had been of 2003, 2004, I was a branch chief of the Defense Intelligence Agency, and I'd worked as a resident agent in charge in the DEA, and I was a field grade officer in the military major. So I'd been at the Pentagon and the CIA and the White House and all that stuff. And all politicians are like fish. They all start to stink after a while. That's why I like sushi. You eat it fresh, quick, and you got to choose the less stinky fish. But they all are slimy. But having said that, you know, Obama was, as far as I can tell, the worst. And the reason he got elected, I think, is because the American people wanted to move past the sin of slavery and racism. And again, I've said this many times, is former Muslim, now Christian, half black, half white, and to unite and move forward. And that's really great, because you look at Europe, you do not see, there is a mayor of London now that I think is a Muslim minority, but generally speaking, you don't see folks of color moving forward like that. We've got two native female senators now, although the first representatives were native to American government were Republicans a long time ago. And there's been a vice president, Curtis, who is Native American. But no, I think it is the most corrupt. And I think he came in with a communist agenda. And I think he executed that communist agenda. I think he was completely paid for and a created fictional character. And they're trying to create this fiction again, and it's not working at all, because everything's coming out. So hopefully that answers your question. Yes?
Well, it it does. I wanted to make a highlight of that, that we have, you know, very recently had the most corrupt administration, executive branch that I know of in the history of the United States. And even more corrupt than the Federal Deficit Roosevelt administration and the Wilson administration.
Yep.
And even the Johnson administration.
Yep, I agree with that. But the good news is, and Providence is there, that this is all coming out. Before the internet and before all citizen reporting, because the propaganda press is dying. And alternative citizen journalism, including My Little Show and other shows. People are coming out and getting their podcast out. And that is our survival mechanism. And that's really important. But with my last couple of minutes here, I want to keep going on this because this is really important. So the following morning, on March 20th, 2017, 17 hours after General McKinney went on air to discuss the Hammer, FBI Director James Comey lied to Congress, insisting that the FBI had no evidence that Donald Trump had been under surveillance. Mueller knows about this too, but I don't think I'm going to have time to get to that today. The Trump-Russia collusion investigation is subsequently proven to have been created out of the Hillary Clinton campaign by Clinton operatives working for the FBI. To avoid going to prison for illegal surveillance of Donald Trump, Brennan and Clapper are desperate to continue to paint Trump as a Russian intelligence agent, and now they're trying to make out Barr to be whatever they're trying to say about him. But this was Operation Crossfire Hurricane, FBI Director Comey's Trump-Russia collusion investigation, and Special Counsel Robert Mueller's Trump-Russia collusion investigation were all part of the cover-up operation predicated on the stunning revelation of illegal surveillance by Obama and Clapper on the Hammer. And I will continue with this next show, but this is really important. Thanks for listening. God bless. Jeff Prather on The Prather Point. Back with you next week.